To Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We have Daniel Cooper on the line, who has recently returned from a very fascinating trip to Hinterschmidruti to meet once again with Edward Albert Meyer, the universal prophet, and one of the main topics of this program, certainly. Daniel, how you been doing?
Hey, not too bad. Had a great time in Switzerland, as usual. So, didn't talk to Billy as much this time. I guess he's busy doing his things, but I certainly got to talk with some of the other folks a lot, and they're always just as fascinating, and if so, even more fascinating, because they really have the time to sit down and chat, and they've all had their experiences as well, so... So I think it's great. And yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good. Let me read something from the Goblet of Truth. I think you'll find this interesting. Everything functions, therefore, according to the effects of the creational laws and recommendations, which go through everything and without which no causes and no effects occur. Hence, if false teachings speak of a heaven and a hell and of a God and a devil, this is fundamentally wrong, just as it is also wrong to talk of good and evil powers, because all energies and powers are neutral in their kind, so also the negative and the positive, which only bring forth a distinct effect when they are brought together. Heaven and hell are not places, but rather conditions in yourselves, which you create yourselves through your ideas, thoughts, and feelings in your psyche. As are likewise the good and the evil, which you also willingly put into action out of your ideas, thoughts, feelings, and through your own decisions. Therefore, are also your energies and powers are neutral in you human beings of Earth. In consequence, you yourselves turn them into good or evil, and indeed through your ideas, thoughts, and feelings, as well as through your decisions and your volition. Fundamentally, the negative and the positive in themselves, each a complete oneness, just as they result in a complete oneness when united in a right wise. But in a wrong union, they create terribleness. As for example, if you create evil out of your energies and powers through wrong ideas, thoughts, and feelings, as well as through a wrong volition. I had a listener send that to me. I thought it was really profound.
It's great, yeah.
So I thought I would share that with you.
It certainly makes me think. I've been thinking about that topic pretty much a lot the last while. Actually, I was talking with Patrick Chanot again, and he's been so busy I haven't been able to contact him over email or anything in the last year. But I finally got a hold of him, and we decided to get together a couple times while I was there, and had a great time. So.
Now, is he in charge of FIGU now?
No, there's nothing. There's no, they're a group. It's, there's nobody who's, you know, over the other. It's sort of like they have to vote on things and, you know, that sort of thing. So, no, he's just another one of the core group members there. But, I've just been working with him on the calculations document that I've been working on, I guess, in the last
week. How often is he there, do you know?
Oh, quite regularly.
Okay, so every day, yeah. Pretty much? Usually?
Not quite, but, you know, maybe once a week or maybe twice a week. I don't know exactly, but, yeah, he's there fairly regularly. So.
Did you get to talk to Marianne at all?
The weather was so bad, I guess she wasn't able to make it out to the center, so, yeah. So that didn't
How bad
work out
was
this time,
weather?
But, maybe next time.
What kind of weather were you guys dealing with?
Oh, man, it was pouring rain, like, really a lot.
No kidding.
So... Yeah.
So much like the hurricanes.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. And really, like, the winds were amazing. So
harsh, hard.
Oh yeah, huge winds. So, yeah. I guess they're saying that it's becoming more common now, of course, with the climate change and everything. So,
like it.
Yeah. Last year when I went, it was nice and sunny the whole time. Same time of year and everything.
Have you followed the hurricanes? Have you been following? Ugh.
How can you? It's just so many of them. I was just gonna look for one. I was gonna look for one hurricane just to see if there's any updates or whatever, and then all of a sudden there's another one blowing in. I'm like, well, geez, okay. So.
Maria just hit Puerto Rico, and it's devastated. They think they won't have power for 6 months.
The whole island is out, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, and they have dams that are breaking or on the verge of breaking, and it's just complete total chaos.
Yeah, and Arecibo, the radio telescope is down, I guess, right now, too. So the biggest radio telescope in the world, I guess, until China decided they're going to build another one or something. But
And that's listening for extraterrestrials, right?
I guess so, yeah.
They don't need anything quite that powerful, I don't think.
No, they could just call Billy, but hey, whatever.
That would be too easy.
Yeah, no. You know what I like to think? Well, what I've thought about a long time, and even when I was making my calculations in high school, that, you know, a lot of these SETI programs are really just part of the disinformation campaign. They're making it look like, oh, we're pouring like all these huge resources into it, and, you know, we still haven't found anything. So it just really helps the disinformation campaign in a huge way.
I worked for a company for about 5 years that was really associated with the military, particularly Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton. And, you know, I'm a computer programmer, and they had hired a guy that was directly associated with the base, and somehow me and him got talking, and he had inside information. And he told me that we definitely had been contacted. There was no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was really freaked out when he told me to. He says, "Don't you dare ever say anything about this." So I was just, you know, I don't even remember his name, and he didn't, you know, work with us that long, but it was just something I never forgot, because he was in fear for his life. I could tell.
Yeah.
But he, that's what he told me. That's what he told me. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, it's there's certainly things going on, and I don't know if the religious of the world want to keep their heads buried in the sand. Well, you know, they're having to ignore the entire rest of the universe to do it, and I just don't think that's very practical. So.
That's a heck of a good way to say it. Ignore the rest of the universe. That's.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one of the most popular things right now is the flat Earth theory. Have you seen any of that on YouTube? Yeah, seriously. Have you?
I don't care anymore. I just don't care. It's just so not important for me.
You don't even pay any attention to this stuff.
What's that?
You don't even pay any attention to that nonsense, right?
No. I mean, geez, are you kidding? No, that's probably put out there by, you know, well, obviously idiots. I mean, there's lots of idiots, and they're just, you know. A lot of people trying to make people debate stupid things that don't need to be debated, and it's wasting precious time, because guess what? There's real things happening in the world, like those, you know, Category 5 hurricanes that just blew through because, you know, we're ignoring climate change and we're ignoring, you know, just reality.
Well, so. I got a post on Facebook. Someone had sent me that, you know, this is all normal. These hurricanes, nothing, no big deal. They're just normal, you know. I was like, oh, my God. Well,
yeah, it's easy to say that. Anybody can say that. I can say that, too. But guess what? It doesn't mean it's true. So.
Exactly. You know, there was some guy 70 years old in Puerto Rico, and he said, you know, I've lived in Puerto Rico my whole life, and I've never, ever seen anything like this. Anything close. Yeah.
No. I mean, their whole island is knocked out power. They haven't had to rebuild Arecibo ever or, you know, any of that stuff. So, come on. Give me a break.
And I can't remember when we've seen Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. There was a smaller hurricane which kind of fizzled out, and now Maria, which is pretty much wiped out Puerto Rico and that other little country, Dominica or whatever it's called.
Dominican Republic. Yeah. No, I don't know. You know, maybe if Americans are not that interested in climate change or education, well. It shows. So it's usually Americans, you know, saying those things. And
it is. It really is.
I really don't care. They're going to, you know, have to deal with the blowback of their lack of caring on their education. And that's just the way it's going to be, unfortunately. So.
Well, some interesting things.
It affects the rest of the world as well.
So. Some interesting things that are. On the horizon here, the collapse of the U.S. in 2020, potentially. two civil wars, one following the other, the split up of the U.S. into five different regions or five different countries, the intensification of the hurricanes, a potential earthquake in San Francisco.
Yeah, the wiping out of the Vatican with and Italy, I guess, with the big volcanoes there, and well, just volcanic activity is increasing everywhere, and the big as we saw in Mexico and so on the last couple of weeks as well. It was probably partially due to the hurricane activity and climate change and so on too. So, I mean, I don't know. People they don't want to look at it, but they really don't care. So, I've been talking to scientists my whole life, and I don't really care what people who just read some article from some oil, you know, funded research has to say. I really don't care. I mean, so, yeah. I mean, if you have billions of dollars like that on the table that you still want to make, and climate change, you know, action is going to affect your bottom line, well, sorry, I have a hard time paying attention to people like that, so. But it seems like Americans really get sucked into it for some reason. So,
The whole thing about religion that you brought up, I thought, if I can find something here that I thought might be interesting. There are an estimated 10,000 distinct religions worldwide. This is on the Billy Meyer Wiki.
Okay.
10,000 distinct religions worldwide. About 84% of the world population is affiliated with one of the five largest religions, namely Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and forms of folk religion.
Okay. Yeah.
Automatic enrollment makes the statistics unreliable. On worlds where religion is not a feature, philosophers naturally occur. Religions are a particularly useful tool for the Pleiaren to implement on rapidly developing worlds, such as those that have had to start again multiple times, or those that have not enjoyed a million years development phase. As a methodology for ensuring that over the shorter development window, wildly different evolutionary paths are not established and taken, altering the trajectory in ways that cannot be managed. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard them say that.
I wonder what that means exactly.
I don't either.
Which contact report was that?
I can just send you the page.
Yeah, sure. That's interesting. I guess, certainly they've had everything to do with sending or getting these prophets going in the initial phases and so forth. But I guess what people do with them in the end is a totally different story. It has nothing to do with what they talked about. So it's usually
this
for control. And so
Contact Report 215, I'd like to get you to comment on this. The point in time at which these prophecies will begin to fulfilled will be when a pope will no longer reside in Rome. That's really coming close. All of Europe will then fall victim to terrible punishment by evil powers. The Christian religion will collapse, and the churches and monasteries will end up in ruins and ashes. So that's coming right around the corner, I have a feeling. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, when you look at the earthquakes and, the volcanoes and stuff in Italy, that geologists are starting to discover the big magma chambers that are building up under there and so on. I mean, the Vatican is in Italy, so I guess, yeah, that will be affected by that.
I did not know that. I did not know that. I don't remember the volcanoes so much in the prophecies.
Yeah, it's mentioned in one of the prophecies, I guess. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but... yeah, it's talked about in there, and it's gonna be an interesting time for sure. I was just reading a geological website the other day, a couple days ago, I guess, and they were talking about these discoveries that they're seeing under was it Naples, Anyway, I don't know exactly where it was, but in Italy, they're discovering these huge magma chambers that they didn't realize existed before, and it's connected to the one around Vesuvius or something, and they didn't realize it had any connection before, and so now they're starting to see more and more activity on that side of things. So, yeah.
I wonder if the area that I live in is going to be somewhat of a safe place. I mean, I shouldn't stick my neck out and say that, but at least it's not, at least I'm not in Houston or in Florida or in the Keys or in Puerto Rico.
Or California.
Or California. That's another really bad spot.
Yeah. Or even anywhere on the East Coast, I guess, if there's going to be that big, whatever it's called, the big tsunami from the Canaries. Is it the Canaries or is it the other one? I don't know.
That's something I totally forgot about. At some point, there's a gigantic tsunami tidal wave type thing.
Yeah, one of those islands. It's the scientists have already figured out that it's breaking apart. It's like broken apart by about a meter, and it's just made of such loose material. And there's volcanic activity kind of around there too. And the porous ground, I guess, mixed with the water and the heat and everything. It's the whole half of the island is going to break off. So, yeah, I guess that'll send a nice tsunami over towards, you know, Boston, New York, all those places
goodness,
too. So, whatever.
What?
But people don't pay attention. You know, they're just too busy, you know, with their pop culture and their, I don't know what they're busy with, but that's okay. That's, they don't have to. If they don't want to figure it out, they want to ignore it all, well, fine. Nature doesn't care. Nature still doesn't care. Never cared before. Still won't care now. So
to get back to our little discussion on religion, after the turn of the millennium, the papacy will exist only a short time. Pope John Paul II is the third from the last in this position. After him, only one additional pontificate will follow. Then a Pontifex Maximus follows, who is known as Petrus Romanus. Is that who we have now?
No, I guess this prophecy has actually, because a prophecy is not set in stone.
Okay.
Prophecy is just a high probability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason for producing these prophecies is to actually make sure that they don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this one has actually been changed, been altered. So the second last pope that we had was... Ratzinger, yeah, mm-hmm. And the one we have now is I don't know his real name, but his pope name is Pope Francis, I think. So, and he's a much nicer guy. but there was a short point there where between Ratzinger and this pope, I guess I was remembering somebody mentioning about an article that. Just totally unrelated to Figu about Petrus Romanus being a possible person to not necessarily take over the pope job, but if they don't find a pope, that this guy would be sort of an intermediary or something like that. So anyway, but that never happened. So I guess things have turned for the better. Yeah, Ratzinger was really extreme. And when we had him, I guess even here in my hometown, things got pretty crazy with the bishop that they moved here, and he was an absolute jerk and caused a lot of problems with homosexuals and whatever in the Catholic schools and so on and so forth. And
was there child abuse?
Not that I know of. Well, I mean, I would call it mental abuse for sure. I mean, what they were talking about, because they were trying to change the laws in the school. And it was a publicly funded school, so it didn't work out. It didn't pass the public education board laws or whatever they have. And they were just basically trying to ignore that and saying, well, you know, just basically trying to put down, you know, homosexuals or whatever. So that wasn't too popular. And everyone, well, lots of people and good teachers and whatever left that school who were not really religious and so they just kind of ended up with a much smaller school. And I actually went to that school when I was younger. Not that I was religious, but my parents thought it would be, okay. But Yeah, I mean, they certainly had their issues.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point there, because a lot of parents think, oh, I've got to get little Johnny involved at religion at a young age because that'll help him. That will be very helpful for him. I've heard friends say that sort of thing. It's just like, ooh, it just.
Oh, it just makes me cringe. Yeah, no, I guess, no, it's not what you think it is. And I mean, I talk to people, kids, years after. I mean, I still consider people like 18 kids, you know, in my world. I don't know, just because they're not really developed socially and so on. But I mean, usually in their 20s is when they really start to grow up. It's sort of the other teenage phase that I consider, where they actually discover themselves. But this person, I guess she was 20 or 18 or whatever it was, and she was talking about having gone to this school, and she got pregnant, and the principal said, "Well, you're not allowed to get an abortion because it'll reflect badly on the school." So she has a child now, and of course she's supporting it alone, and
Oh, jeez.
doesn't even have a job, doesn't have education, doesn't have nothing. And I mean, it's just disgusting. It's sad. It's so ridiculous. So unnecessary.
I found an interesting article I'd like to have you comment on. It says, religious experiences shrink part of the brain. The article, Religious Factors and Hippocampal Atrophy in Late Life by Amy Owen and colleagues at Duke University, represents an important advance in our growing understanding of the relationship between the brain and religion. May 31st, 2011, the hippocampus belongs to the limbic system and plays important roles in the consolidation of information for short-term memory, long-term memory, spatial memory, and navigation. I thought that was very, very interesting.
Well, it makes perfect sense, because if your only answer to everything is, "Well, God did it," then it doesn't really make you think, does it?
Not very much.
No, it doesn't make you think at all. It just, you know, it's not an answer. It's just, yeah, well, my imaginary friend did it. Well, great.
My friend.
So it's not really, it's not an answer to anything. I mean, it doesn't answer why the seasons happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't answer, you know, anything about cause and effect. So you might as well go live in the dark ages, where, you know, they would just, yeah, really believe in witchcraft and all kinds of things. So I mean, whatever. It's just nonsense.
There is one of Billy's teachings I find very interesting. Have you ever heard him talk about the God delusion and sanity?
I guess it's one of his books.
I think that's still just in German, right? I'd love to get that book. I think it's fascinating.
Well, yeah, I know that they certainly go into topic quite a lot. So it's yeah, no, yeah, actually, when I was talking with Patrick, well, Patrick was doing a lot of the talking, and it was great just to sit there and listen to what he had to say as well. But he was talking about over the years, and this is something that I had been struggling with lately as well, just the fact that he had to sort of start changing his friends and stuff like that, because there's just no way to relate with people when you have such interest in learning certain aspects about life and so on. And when certain people are really have no interest in that, then there is no way to relate anymore. And there's no point in trying to convince them or anything like that. I mean, that's disrespectful anyways. And so I really got a lot out of that conversation myself, and because I had been dealing with certain things like that in my life recently. And so it's nice to actually realize that, yeah, these people, I mean, I could see it, you know, before. Like, they certainly have to protect their environment over there in Switzerland, and they don't just let anybody in. And you know, it's if somebody, like, of course, you know, Billy's had assassination attempts on his life and everything else too, so they really have to be very protective. And I find it great to see that it's okay not to want to hang out with people who have absolutely no interest in learning anything. People who are just, you know, wanting to drink and not really talk about anything, just talking about, you know, sports or basically fluff, nothing, and nothing of consequence to our world in any way, in a positive way anyways. So I found that actually a wonderful thing to hear and to listen to, because I had been dealing with something very similar to that, and all my life I have been trying to get away from certain kinds of people who have no interest in that sort of thing, and I hadn't done it with everybody, but many people I have, and certainly big improvements have happened as a result. So, but yeah, I think certainly religious people I find are the ones, at least, who are very close-minded, are just very difficult to talk to. And there are some who are more open-minded and so on, but yeah, it's nice to see that, you know, they have to struggle with those things too, and the way that they handle things, and I think it's good. I think it's really good. I think it's positive. And, you know, people are all on their own path of evolution. And to acknowledge that, to be neutral about it, to be okay with it, and just to get on with things and to pursue my interests if I have certain interests. And if that means while spending less time with certain people who don't have those interests, well, fine. It certainly opens up the room then for the people who I do have those interests with. And who do have those interests with me, I mean. And so there's certainly no lose situation there for anybody. Because if the people don't want to listen to any of that stuff, well, then they don't want to listen to it. And that's fine. That's okay. They're allowed not to. So I think it's great. I think it's wonderful to realize that and acknowledge that. So...
What is God and what is the creational universal consciousness? This is Billy answering this question. Fundamentally, God is an invention of the human being, respectively of the human brain, whereby in the human being over millions of years, the imaginary divinity has been inherited in a form of schizophrenic epileptic delusion, and has established itself in the temporal lobes as well as in the parietal lobes. Religious experiences which arise thereby constitute forms of schizophrenic delusion and are the result of genetically inherited religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of people that would hear Billy explain what the universal consciousness is would say, oh... that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, and I don't, I think there'd be a lot of people that it wouldn't be that hard of a transition for.
That's probably why Star Wars was so popular.
It probably is.
Yeah, so, because it is very much about that, Star Wars. I mean, the old ones, the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, yeah, Yoda, that was his big thing, you know? I mean, it wasn't exactly, it doesn't translate exactly into the spirit teaching. I mean, there's many things that were very different and contradicty as well, and obviously in Star Wars, in their sort of theology or whatever you want to call it. But it is sort of an attempt at that transition. And I think that's very positive, and people certainly did respond well to that. And yeah, a lot of religious people that I know love Star Wars, and I think that's wonderful. So...
So when you were in Switzerland, you were dealing with rain and high winds and cold?
Most of the time, yeah. Usually in the evenings it would get sunny for about an hour, and then it would start raining again. Or
wow.
Yeah, so
but, now here,
one morning it was really nice as well. So
past 2 days here, it's been sunny and as high as 90 degrees.
Whew, yikes.
Yeah. Fahrenheit.
Okay, yeah.
Which is... extremely hot, but
yeah.
Especially for this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of a blessing from my perspective.
Well, yeah, from yours, but not probably from nature's, you know.
Well, it's hard on the tomato plants, I think.
Yeah, it's probably hard on the trees and so on, too. I mean, here we have more and more problems with bug infestations on the trees and so forth because it's not cold enough in the winters anymore. We don't get the minus 55, you know, degrees Celsius. Like we used to. We don't get the minus 40s for 3 months. You don't get all that stuff. So it's not conducive to the plants, and they're really suffering.
So when you're over there in Switzerland, do they have any classes or discussions for you guys, or do you just work all the time on the
We talk to people individually and while we work and on the breaks as well. I mean, there's very little work. I mean, it's, maybe 5.5 hours or 6 hours a day. It's not really much, and it doesn't feel like work because you're always working with somebody and you're able to talk and chat and laugh and have a good time. And so there's no, it's not a grunt. And I find actually the work itself is very meditative, and it really makes the conversations make more sense too, because, my friend, we were working together just cutting wood, for example, and he was kind of messing around a little bit and realized, oh, that could be dangerous, and because he'd never done stuff like that before, and then he's realizing, well, okay, yeah, there are certain limitations to, what I can do here, and if I want to remain healthy and this kind of thing. And if more people actually did that, there would be a much greater appreciation for the actual laws of cause and effect. And I think just working in the garden, we did that a little bit when it wasn't raining as much. And same thing. And you're working with plants, you're working with things that are growing, that are living, and nurturing them and taking care of them, and learning to, what are weeds and what are not, and what kind of soil do they need, and all this kind of thing. And yeah, so there are certain things about just the work itself that really help with the spirit teaching, and they talk about that as well. Doing work for several hours a day, I think it's up to 8 or 12 hours a day. It doesn't have to be like work in terms of using your muscles, and it doesn't have to be a grunt, but actually just doing something physical with your hands, or doing, even just combing your hair, for a few minutes, and then going and doing this and that and whatever, just our daily routines and so on, is really helpful with the meditation. And so and learning the spirit teaching, and the spirit teaching is all about, cause and effect and so on as well. So
I'm going to, sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to press pause just for a second.
yes, I
Oh,
am.
fantastic. It's good to take a little break. That's one good thing about recording via Skype is, we can take a break and
Yeah.
pick right back up.
Exactly.
So it was cold, it was windy, and you're out there working with another person and you're kind of chatting back and forth. I guess you got raincoats on, right?
Well, that's one of the things that came up. Not very good ones.
Ha
So, yeah, next time I'll have to bring something better. I guess, for the most part, they just left us inside upstairs and just cutting firewood up there. Yeah, so not that it was, a total catastrophe, but I got wet for sure.
Wow.
But
And
no,
cold. Wet and cold, right?
yeah, well, it wasn't too bad. I mean, we survived. We're moving around lots and stuff, so it was fine. But yeah, no, I guess we just gotta live and learn, and we'll take better rain gear next time. I actually bought something last time I or the first time I went to Switzerland, and it was a raincoat, and not a very good one, so so next time I'll buy something.
So was it maybe 10 or 15 degrees above freezing?
Yeah, maybe yeah, somewhere in there, maybe 15 degrees, yeah,
So that
so
would be Fahrenheit, maybe 45 degrees. And windy.
yeah, maybe.
And windy.
And very windy, yeah. So
Wow.
it was, yeah. But no, it was nice actually. Like, I didn't really care about that. It was just enjoyable to be there and to watch them, and to talk with them, and that for me is such a grounding experience, just to do that once a year. And I never come back feeling like, oh, that was a waste of time. So it was actually just really wonderful, and everyone was super, warm and kind, and very welcoming.
Did you talk to Christian at all?
A little bit, actually. I met him for the first time this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I met him very briefly one time, but he was just kind of walking out the door at the time. But we talked for a few minutes this time, and he came by for a day and worked with Jacobus, and they were cutting a few trees on a really steep hill, some really huge trees, and so they were kind of risking life and limb for that one, and they were talking about that at lunchtime, and so we went down and checked it out after, and yeah, so.
How many people were there, like yourself, people that were visiting members?
Just one other guy this time,
Okay.
and yeah, it's not like in summertime; it's not as busy this time of the year, and so. But in some respects, I kind of enjoy that. I find the core group members a little bit less stressed out then when there's less people and
Okay.
so on. So it's for me personally, it's nice. But you know, it's also I hear it's a lot of fun to meet all the other members and stuff like that from Canada and so on in May and whatever, but I haven't done that yet, so.
So the fellow that you met, where was he from?
Austria, yeah.
Austria.
Yeah, he
So
goes there.
did you guys speak German much?
I tried to as much as I could, but my German wasn't as good this year as last year. I just really haven't had time to practice and or energy really. And so that's been quite an annoying and difficult year. So this
Oh,
year,
this year has been difficult.
It's been ridiculous. Yeah. So
No
I mean,
kidding. Wow.
yeah. So next year or this coming year will be hopefully a little bit more relaxed and a little bit less drama.
Is it
So.
mostly difficult because of the baby or?
I guess the baby itself was the easy part. It's just that we didn't have any health coverage for the pregnancy until like 9 months into it. So,
Wow.
and we weren't quite expecting that. And because we are in Canada, not the US, so and we just barely narrowly escaped, you know, a $30,000 bill or
Jeez.
more. So, we got it just in the nick of time. The health coverage, but yeah, my wife is from Germany, and it doesn't matter if we're married, you know. It's yeah, and she just came from Germany in September, so it was just a bunch of pointless bureaucracy and dealing with a bunch of idiots who really are not that human. Since I've been paying my taxes my whole life, well, you know, all my working life, and so and it is my baby, so you would think that you know there would be some. You know, precedent there, but even other couples are going through that right now too, and so it's not a very human system.
For some reason, all my life, I never wanted to have children, knew I wouldn't have children for whatever reason. I don't even know why. But I end up having a lot of pets that just keep coming out of nowhere. I don't know what that's all about either. But the one thing that's I know that's very hard about pets, and probably even worse with children, is maintaining some neutrality in your thinking.
Yes.
Because you're responsible for them, you want the very best for them, and they mean the world to you. But on the same token, you know, if you're not neutral, your emotions and thoughts are just going to run wild
Yeah,
and run out of
exactly.
control. I mean, it's not an easy thing to control. It's very difficult to do
Yeah,
that.
exactly. Actually, I was talking with Ulrich, who's another core group member, and just on the last night that I was there, and he was doing the night watch, and we came in kind of late from one of the hotels and just had an ice cream or whatever at the hotel and chatting with Patrick. And but yeah, we got there kind of late. It was after dark, and he was kind of wondering, you know, are we there camping or you know whatever, all this kind of stuff. And but yeah, we ended up having a nice chat, and he was talking just exactly about, you know, remaining neutral in difficult times and so forth with difficult people, and that you don't have to accept, you know, their behaviors necessarily, but you know, to remain neutral and not get angry in that. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you should just keep yourself in that situation, but to remain neutral is very difficult. And even with normal people, actually, I think the baby is way easier to deal with than a lot of the grown-ups I've dealt with this year. So, just some of the grown-ups are incredibly childish because they're so far detached from anything to do with the laws of cause and effect. They really have no clue about that. They don't care about that. They're just so obsessed with their beliefs, and they really are so, yeah, if they're so far removed from wanting to learn, to understand what's going on, about anything, then in the whole scheme of things, and the microcosm is the macrocosm, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's the small things that they ignore is very much attached to the very big things that they ignore as well, and it just becomes impossible to deal with that kind of a thing. And so, actually, I think it's the Plarin that we're saying that actually babies are very okay for them to hang out with, because you know, normal people, grown-ups and so forth, they have to like reset their vibrations or their frequency so that they don't get too disturbed by each other and get sick from each other. And but they don't have that problem with babies. They also don't have pe that problem when people are sleeping, apparently. So
Is that right?
yeah, so I guess it's actually been a very nice experience. The actual baby has been wonderful. She's lovely. So we've been having a wonderful time with her, and so I certainly don't regret that aspect of it at all. So no, she's great. So
So you have challenges with family members.
yes, yeah, huge. And it's a little bit less and less now, because I guess we're detaching ourselves from that more and more. But it was nice visiting the family in Germany. They're much more neutral. And
So it's more on your side?
it's more on my side, yeah. So I guess that's,
Wow.
I
Do you
can really
have a religious family?
in practice, I would say, yeah.
No
They're
kidding. Wow.
yeah, I grew up, actually, my calculations were an escape plan. So
Is
it
that
was.
right?
That's exactly what they were, and I was trying to get away from that kind of an environment and that kind of crowd, and get into a crowd where, yeah, you know, learning laws of cause and effect is really an important thing. Whereas these people, they don't give a damn about that. They don't care. They don't care at all about that, and it affects their relationships with people. It affects everything. It affects absolutely everything. So they really have no neutrality at all, and it's just impossible to deal with that. And they'll say one thing, you know, one minute, and then and the next minute they'll say, "Oh, we never said that." And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? So it's really insane making, and it's almost narcissistic, or you know, it's borderline. It's a little bit over the top, and so yeah, and a lot of their friends, a lot of them are very much like that as well. So, and that's who they exposed to me when I was growing up. So you know, you just kind of, when you're a kid, you just kind of assume that you know your parents are doing the best for you, and you know, they know better and so on. But in this case, I could really see that that wasn't the case. So when I made the calculations, I started like when I was, I guess I was about 9 years old. Like the actual awareness of the codex came a lot earlier than that. But the actual starting of the calculations themselves, the framework, really started around 9 or 10 years old. So it was, it was an escape plan. So, and I'm so glad I did that, because it really worked. It's really. Just being able to go to the center once a year and experience those people, and just the neutral feeling of it, you know, just because they're so enamored with cause and effect, it just makes things so much easier to happen, because they just get it. They see the causal effects between things. They're interested in that. And so it really makes so much more good things possible. And when you talk to them, you're actually talking to them. They're actually listening. They're actually paying attention. And so it's not just somebody trying to get the advantage over you. It's they're really trying to understand you and listen and pay attention, and it's so much more down to earth, so much more easy to deal with and enjoyable. It's not making you insane, you know, because they're not saying one thing and doing another. They're what they say and what they do is the same, which is wonderful and very rare on this planet, I find. So
So you sound like you're almost kind of tormented by, is it your family or is it your friends or?
Well, at one point it was, friends, because the friends that my family introduced me to and so on when I was a young kid, were very much like that as well, very religious and very, to them, belief in whatever was way more important to them than kindness or just friendship or humanity. So, and it's still a lot of the cases it's like that now, and the further I've gotten away from them, the happier I've been. So it's kind of a great thing. But yeah, no, the family is still part of the equation at the moment, and so I'll have to take care of that aspect of things over the years. And
Are they more Catholic or Protestant or?
my mom is more on the Catholic side, and my dad was more kind of on the Christian Science, whatever you call that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was still into dinosaur bones and things, and he understood what that meant and how old they were and so forth. But beyond that, it's he can't acknowledge the existence of life in the universe or anything like that. So it's very interesting.
Outside of Earth.
Outside of Earth, yeah.
So
So
it's in that sense it's almost similar kind of to the flat Earth person.
yeah, basically,
Not
basically.
maybe not quite that extreme, but still close.
It's close, yeah. It's just a hair's breath away from that. So, no, dealing with that. I mean, my mom was actually more into the alien thing and UFOs and things while I was growing up, and but she still, it's really enamored into the Christianity and stuff too, which is not really for me. And so, but yeah, a lot of their friends are really into that stuff, and they're not all bad people. It's just that they have been taught this way, and they've been grown up and brought up that way, and so forth. So it's just, they were taught not to question that, and I guess they just never do and never did. So it's just okay. It's just not really easy for me to deal with, though, in terms of actually,
Well,
dealing with my own life.
you can't really relate to them
No,
on a
exactly.
higher level. You can't go there.
No, exactly.
Unless you're kind of like me, and then you can ask certain poignant questions which they won't have answers for, but that's just and usually after a while that can cause trouble probably. But I've had this some fascinating conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I invite them back, and they come back, and they bring other ones with them. It's really interesting. Because if you really hit them with the truth, it's like someone that's been in a coma that's woke up. It's like, wow, this is what it's like to be awake, you know? And, but so yeah, but it's harder with family because. It's just harder. It's hard to explain, because you have this whole relationship with them and everything, but
Yeah, I mean, if your parents think that you're just some dumb kid who doesn't have anything figured out, well, of course they're not going to listen to you anyway, so whatever. It's there's that whole issue as well. I mean, I've always had that issue with them, but it's just not very respectful, and it's not very, whatever. So yeah, so I guess there comes a time when you just have to say, okay, well, that's enough for me, I guess. I
How
can part ways.
far are you from Figu, Canada? Pretty far, right?
Oh God, like thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers. It's
Gee.
on the other side of Canada, so
No kidding. So you're on
yeah.
the west side though, right?
I'm on the west side, yeah.
Yeah, but isn't like where is Michael Udebrook?
On the east side, so I guess they're
Oh,
in
he
like
is. Oh,
Toronto, yeah,
okay.
Ontario.
That's almost as long as going to Switzerland, right?
No, it's longer. Trust me, it's longer. You have to take like 3 planes to get there,
Yeah,
whereas
I mean, but
I only take.
not in terms of distance, though. It's just the fact that you have to.
And it's more expensive to get there.
It's
So
more
then it.
expensive. That's a.
Yeah, well, I have direct flights from my hometown to Frankfurt, which is awesome in the summertime anyway. And so it's actually a lot cheaper for us to get to Frankfurt than it is to get to Toronto. So and then even with the plane ticket and everything else to get to Zurich or whatever we do, it's still cheaper and it's still easier.
How
So
do you
it's
get
just
from Zurich to the center? You
I
plan
just take a couple trains and a bus, so that's
two trains and a bus. Okay. And you're in a German-speaking country, and do they help you much, or do they know English, or typically, or?
Usually the people at the train station can help in English.
Okay.
Usually on the people on the plane, like more on the country or on the train, sorry, on the countryside and so on are only German speaking, and I found that kind of cool. So
So it's harder on the bus then, maybe. It's like you're trying to tell them, well, I went to go to Hinterschmidt-Ruti and here's my money and
yeah, well they know where that is anyways. I mean, they've lots of people that come from all over the world to go to Hinterschmidt-Ruti on the bus, so it's not a big deal.
okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking to people on the train station in Zurich and you're telling them Hinterschmidt-Ruti and they've never heard of that place, so
How long does it take total? So you catch two trains and a bus. I mean, that probably takes over an hour then, right? Yeah, I would think. But if
for
you could
sure.
just drive a car, maybe 45 minutes.
It was actually about half an hour maybe
Oh, okay.
to the airport. I guess we drove back. So this last time, it was the first time I actually went anywhere in a car. Oh no, actually I did last year too once,
Oh,
but
but you would have to drive on the other side of the road.
no, it's
It's what your nor regular.
it's regular. Yeah, it's not England. So
Okay. So, like here in the United States, like you're always on the right side of the road. The same as there.
same as in Canada, same as in
Okay.
Switzerland, and all over Europe apart from the UK.
It's
So
just the UK where they. Oh, God, that would be so confusing. I could not do it.
yeah, it's weird. It's really weird.
I would have the hardest time with that. I'd probably.
Well, I took a cab ride in Ireland once, and my heart was beating the whole time because I was like, "What
Because you're on the
the
wrong side of the road, man.
Yeah,
Get
exactly.
over, get over. What's wrong
Yeah,
with
I know. Yeah, so it was freaking out. So I don't think I'll ever forget that. But
That's a trip, man. So,
yeah.
could you rent a car? Could you rent a car, you think? Or would that be real expensive and very just strange?
You could if you wanted to. I mean, although the road signs are a bit, I don't understand them at all. So I kind of have avoided that situation so far. But yeah, so.
Because I know, like, on some trips I've taken here, like when I've gone to Washington State and things like that, I went out to James Gilliland's ranch a couple times. I don't know if you even know who he is.
No.
There seems to be some kind of UFO activity out at this Mount Adams in
Okay.
Washington State. I've been out there, man. There's some weird stuff flying around up there. So I've been out there a couple times, and yeah, usually I'll rent a car or whatever, and it's kind of expensive, but and when I've been out to Munn's Park to the people, there's a Munn's Park study group. I don't know if you've ever heard of that in the US. Are you aware of that?
No,
Oh yeah,
no idea.
that's
No.
where Michael Horn is,
Okay.
meets now with
Okay.
the, yeah, they're at Munn's Park, and I went out. Was I there once or twice? I think I might have been there twice. Maybe someday I'll go back out again, but I don't take a lot of trips. I do a little, but not,
Yeah.
much, because I really like where I live. It's very beautiful here, and
Oh, right on.
so I don't have to like the same need to take a vacation like someone that's stuck in the middle of the city or something. So
No, I understand. For sure. Yeah, no, it's really beautiful in Switzerland there too, and I got some nice pictures this time. I actually went to the sites where Billy took his pictures of the UFOs and so forth
Oh,
this
really?
on this trip. Yeah. So on
Could you
that.
recognize the landscape?
Oh yeah. It's
Wow.
amazing. And it's something like out of a Steven Spielberg movie. Like, it's really
Like,
beautiful
down
place.
in
Really
you can
beautiful.
feel it. It's like in the air.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh
it's
yeah.
sort
No,
of happened.
it's just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Like, I can see why they chose that location, and because the hills are so kind of close together and stuff, and the road is beautiful and everything, like on the hill there. It's just, oh man, it's beautiful. Really beautiful. So when it was sunny in the evenings, we would take my drone out and go fly around a bit and have a
You
good time with
brought a
that. So
drone with you?
yeah, I decided to do that this time. So it
That's
was
wild.
yeah, it was great.
I just had the strangest ultralight craft circling my house here about half an hour ago.
Okay.
Probably maybe more like two. And it was beautiful. It was like this futuristic looking thing. I thought it was a drone at first, but like, no, that's too big. So I don't know what that was all about. Who knows?
Cool.
But bizarre. So you took a drone. Did you get any film?
Yeah. I actually went, I had Billy show me which pictures were in which locations, because I had a picture of the whole area. And so he told me, like, we went through the book together, and he opened the book and he said, well, this picture is over here and this picture is over here and so on and so forth. So he showed me all that. And so when I went to the area, I could actually recognize all the different locations all of a sudden. And yeah, it's amazing to actually just walk on that road. And, you know, people are walking their dogs there all the time. The first minute I got there, you know, there was this beautiful horse carriage that was walking by. So I got my drone out really fast and got that in there as well. And so, yeah, it's what a place.
Are you going to post this movie online so other people can see it?
Yeah, someday. Yeah.
Someday. Man, dude, you got to do that.
Oh, of course. Well, it's going to be edited first. And
why would you edit it?
Oh, well, it's a surprise. So.
Surprise.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
You're going to wait 2 years because of a surprise.
Not 2 years, no.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, no, it's going to be a nice little thing. So, we went to one of the other areas as well, and I got some really cool shots of that. And so it's I kind of had this in my mind for a while that I wanted to do this, and I wanted to go to some other locations here in the Yukon, and that didn't quite work out. So,
you know what else would be really interesting? And I know you couldn't probably do this, but if there was some way you could go with Billy up to like Bulak and Niederflux, where he grew up. And then if he could show you like where Svath's ship landed, and if he could, because there was one also hill that he used to climb up to the top to kind of meditate, and that's where Askett sent that robotic craft. I'd like to go up on top of that hill.
And that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't that be something, man, if you could do that too? Good.
Yeah. Yeah, this location that we went to was just like 2 minutes from the center, so it was actually very close. And but I asked him about some of the other locations. He's like, yeah, you have to go up this really steep hill and so on. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm up for anything. So yeah, next time maybe I'll, you know, do the same thing, and we'll go to some of the other locations.
So you know, it's different to speak with Billy person to person, isn't it? Because you read his writings and it's just this incredible wisdom just
mm-hmm.
blaring out at you, but it's probably not so much like that when you're speaking to him.
No, not so much. Okay. He's a funny guy. He likes good humor and
all the time.
The first conversation we had together, I guess I just told him, well, I had a baby, and he's like, well, how did that happen? I said, well, I don't know, I wasn't there at the time, and he just had a good chuckle. So, yeah, I don't know. But you know, a lot of the times he is preoccupied in his mind and his thoughts and so on. So it's good not to disturb him.
Really?
And, yeah, so it's, you know, unless you're saying hello or goodbye, you know, like he's usually pretty occupied in his thoughts. I mean, when I took the pictures last year, of course he was really into that. And so we spent the whole evening together and,
oh, you did?
With a bunch of people in the kitchen there.
Now, what was that extraterrestrial group? The Duran or
the Druon? Yeah, I guess
Druon.
Yeah, they were not in contact with Billy, but they do watch over the center sometimes. So,
but he knew of them, and are they part of that quote unquote Federation or whatever?
I guess they must be. Yeah. So
interesting. Wow.
So that's that was a fun experience. And I said, well, I didn't get any pictures this year of UFOs. And Bernadette said, well, you only get to see them once in a while anyway, so it's a good thing that you only got them one time. I said, of course, I was just kidding. So, I didn't see anything on my drone footage or anything either. So,
now, as far as Billy's, his current contacts only occur like once or twice a year now anyway, right?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I thought they were a bit more regular than
maybe
that.
Maybe three or four times a year, but not much more, right?
I'm not sure. I thought it was more often than that.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah. So, It's not something that I'm aware of at the moment, but
I don't know who is translating his most recent contacts. I know some people are kind of working a little bit on that, but
There's people translating stuff all the time. I have a friend of mine, that guy from Austria, he's translating some of my calculations into German right now. And his brother's translating the Ohm and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
that's
So
huge. That's huge. Very, very important. Now, has Billy written? I don't know this. I know it's over 40 books, but has he written over 50 now?
Well, I guess I'm not sure. I actually haven't counted. It's a lot. And of course there's the spirit teaching stuff as well, which is a whole other series of writings that he's done. So that is more not so open to the public. I mean, you have to really sign up for that
You
consciously, and
get exposed to that, correct?
not yet, not yet. I actually would like to. And
Oh, okay.
so I'd like to get that started, because I just find that stuff a lot more interesting than the contact reports at this point and all this kind of stuff. So because the spirit teaching is really the practical, where the rubber meets the road kind of thing, and that's where the change is really gonna take off, and that's the whole point of the contacts in the first place. So and that's like a really long sort of set of documents that you get every 4 months or whatever, and so I would like to get into
Is
that
he
for sure.
gonna put those in a book at some point?
No. This is something that is not really for public consumption. It's for people who are really signing up for it, and on their own, and they like people to return it after they die, that kind of thing. So, so that doesn't fall into the wrong hands and all that
Is it
kind of
like
stuff. So,
hundreds of pages?
oh yeah, it must be. I mean, they send documents every 4 months for like 30 years, so it must be quite a few pages. So.
Every 4 months
So
for
it
30 years.
something yeah it's a long series of things. They want you to really learn it. They give it to you in little snippets so that you really take time to really learn the one part before you move on to the next part, every 4 months or whatever, and that makes perfect sense to me.
Gosh, when I just think of, the might of thoughts, the psyche, the way to live. And the Goblet of Truth. There's so much information there. I mean, so much. My
Exactly.
goodness.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine was talking to me a bit about this spirit teaching thing, and it actually sounds very interesting, and compared even to all those books.
But can you
And
even talk about it? Can you discuss it?
I guess they recommend people just do it on their own, and at their own pace
I mean,
and
could
at
you
their own
discuss it
volition.
public?
I guess they don't really recommend that. So,
Do bad things happen if you do?
well, if it falls into the wrong hands or whatever, then maybe people will misuse that, or that kind of thing. So it's, if people are really interested, they'll do it themselves. So that's like anything else in life. If you want to be a musician, then you'll take lessons. You'll buy an instrument. You're gonna, invest the time to do it. If you're wanting to learn to be an electrician, it's the same thing. If you want to learn to be a plumber, or you want to be an expert at anything, you have to invest your own time. And so you might go and buy the books and take the courses and take this and that, and work through them bit by bit. So, but in this case, with the spirit teaching stuff, I guess they like I said before, like they even if somebody dies, they want to have that stuff returned to the center after. So, because if it falls into the wrong hands, then it's not really a good thing. It's really for people's own initiative and their own interest. There's no proselytizing at all allowed, which makes perfect sense to me. And this is just another extension of that. And if people are interested on their own, completely on their own, like no coercion of any kind from anybody else, that's the only way they're gonna read it or be interested in it anyways. So it just doesn't work to be coerced into, If somebody forced me to try and be a musician, or if somebody forced me to try and be an electrician, or if somebody forced me to try and be whatever, I probably wouldn't take the energy and time to that it would take to really develop the skills necessary to really be good at it if I didn't want to do it. So the same thing is probably true with the spirit teaching. Well, I know it's true. So, I mean, you can't drag somebody kicking and screaming all the way, you know, through that kind of a learning process. It makes no sense to go that route. So,
well, thanks for sharing your experience at the center in Switzerland.
My pleasure.
I know that's a very unique experience that you go through every year, right? I mean,
yes, it is awesome. I am so grateful that I've done the calculations, that I found the case, that I did it in my younger years enough to, you know, be able to travel and do all these things. Every time I come back, my mind is just filled with processing these wonderful experiences, and it just really helps me in my day-to-day life as well, dealing with, you know, the crap that I might have to deal with here in whatever situations and so forth. So just in handling things differently and so on. So yeah, no, not enough can be said about that.
Wow. Fantastic. Any closing thoughts, Daniel, you want to leave with the listeners or anything like that?
Well, I guess, I'm sure more will come up when we do another interview, and, let's just keep it at that for now. And,
okay.
Yeah. So I hope everyone has a good time.
All right.
until next time.
So. Okay. Chat with you later.
Okay. Yeah. See ya.
Bye-bye.